Amen. I'm glad you're here this morning. Amen. That song always does something for me. Calvary touched. A sinner like me. Amen. Boy, that's good. I was going to say something. What was it? Man. Take your Bibles. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Miss Terry, thank you for being here this morning. You and Brother Bob. We thank God for Bob being here, but we also thank God for Terry being here too. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Brother Bob, what a blessing to see him at the door. I was just talking about that this morning. We miss Brother Bob being at the door and Miss Terry sitting there with him. Well, what a blessing. You know, it's funny this morning. I've been thinking about this thing about your mind. I've been thinking about your mind and my mind. And the mind is the battlefield. And people always say, you know, they say, it's just your mind. You've got a problem, and you've got to get over that thing with your mind. And it's all in your mind. That's what they say. And it is. And the battle we have is in our mind. And the biggest battle you and I face is not the devil. It's not really the world. It's your mind. It's your mind. And looking at some scriptures this morning, I want to talk about mastering your mind. Get your mind under control. Before I got saved, my mind was out of control. Now, I still got whispers in my mind, stuff going in my head. There's stuff in my thoughts, like I said before, 10,000 thoughts go through your mind every day. And you got all these thoughts, you got all this stuff going on in your head. And you think, man, how in the world can I battle this thing? And everything's connected. Your heart, it connects with your love, connects with your mind. Everything's connected within your body, within your spirit, and it's your spirit as well. Everything's connected, and you're made up of a body, soul, and spirit. But the biggest problem I found when I've dealt with people, I've dealt with a lot of people with mental problems. And this morning we had to tell a guy to leave here. This morning had mental problems, and he came in here. And he sat, and his name's Robert, and he came in, sat before, and looked like, you know, and with all the stuff going on in this world right now, with people doing all kinds of crazy stuff, shooting up places and all that stuff, and he was downstairs, and I had to go downstairs. April was talking to him, and she said, "Preacher, there's a guy down there. He wants to talk to the teenage girls." Now, when a guy comes in and says he wants to talk to the teenage girls, there's something wrong with the guy. There's something going on in his mind. Or he wants to talk to the little kids. And so I started talking to him. He starts shaking. And so I finally told him he had to go, and he had to get out. I said, "If you don't come to Sunday school, you don't come to church." I said, "What are you here for?" He said, "I got something I got to tell you." I said, "Well, tell me." "Well, you won't understand." I said, "Well, explain it to me." And I've dealt with a lot of folks with mental problems, and mental problems is real. It is real. But I think it starts some way back when. And I mean, some people go through mental problems. Some people is kind of created within them throughout their years of being on this planet. It depends on what they're messing with, what they're doing. And I've seen Christians that never get victory in their life and because of their mind. They got a battle going on. And it started in the Garden of Eden. It started right back in Genesis. Take your Bible, look in Genesis chapter 3. I said in Ephesians 6, hold your place there in Ephesians 6. It's going to be, a week or two on this. But I want you to see this thing. The devil never changes his tactics. And once you learn how the devil uses tactics on you, then you'll be able to fight against him. You'll be able to stand against him. And what happens is most Christians don't know how to fight against the devil. They don't know how to fight against the things of their mind. And they allow anything and everything to go into their head. And they feed it. They start feeding that thing. And they start Googling it. And they start, you know, looking at this and looking at that. And they start, man, they before long, their minds are so cluttered that God can't deal with them about anything. And I've had people come to church and they have a mental problem, and they say, "Well, I don't feel nothing, and I can't get nothing." And the reason why, their minds is like a computer overloaded. Your mind's like a computer, and you can overload that thing with a bunch of junk that don't mount to hill of beans, and it'll mess you up, and all you can think about is things that's not right. And you can always tell people that have mental problems, they're always angry at somebody. They're always upset. They have no joy in their life. Yeah. It's always me, 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 woe is me, woe is me. And whenever we get like that, we're playing into the trick that the devil throws at us. You're playing into it. It's always about me. It's always about how I feel, about what I want. And then before long, you know, your mind is controlled by just your flesh. Everything's controlled in your life by your mind. And you think, I deserve better. The devil plays that. He hadn't changed his tactics at all. In Genesis chapter 3, take your Bible, look, when the devil came to, this is called whenever it's first mentioned in the Bible, it's called the principle of first mention. Whenever something's mentioned first time in the Bible, it usually sets the pace throughout the whole Word of God. And what happens is the devil came to Eve and he started talking to her. And the Bible tells us we have three enemies. And the three enemies we have is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the flesh is the one that gives us the biggest problem. We blame the devil, we'll blame the world, but the biggest problem most Christians have is the flesh. That's the flesh. And it's the mind. You ought to keep they always say, idle mind is the devil's workshop. But also, a mind that's always constantly messing around in the world is the devil's workshop. It'll mess you up. And most Christians don't know anything about the Word of God. And whatever they get about the Word of God, they watch on YouTube or they watch it on TV and they think that's the Word of God or that's real. They don't get nothing from the Word of God on their own. And that's where their minds get messed up. And they get thinking wrong. And you know what? I've always prayed, God, protect me. Lord, you know me. You know where I am. You know where I think. And my thinking's wrong. My thinking's always wrong when it comes to about you and about what you do. And Lord, help me have your mind. And the way you get God's mind is by getting in this book. And let me ask you something. Was Jesus Christ perfect? Yes or no? Yeah. Yeah. Did Jesus Christ have his mind on serving God? Yeah. And he said that he came to do the Father's will. Now, you say, well, he was God. And he knew the beginning to the end. Yes, he did. He knew the beginning to the end. Now, God, you know what God's done? He's given you from the beginning to the end. This is called the mind of the Lord, right here in your hands. And the devil will fight you to get in the mind of God. And faith cometh by what? And hearing by the Word of God. So all this stuff is connected together. Your mind, your spirit, your heart, your love, it's all intertwined. Everything's connected. And the devil knows if he can get control of this, he controls this, and he controls this. He controls everything about you, and he gets control of you, then you'll never glorify God in your body, which is a command. To glorify God in your body is a command. And the devil knows if he can get your mind, you'll never glorify God, which is a command, and you'll never praise God, which is a command. It says, and then you'll never pray like you should, but all about just about me, 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 me. And you'll never pray like you should. You'll never do anything the way God wants you to do it. Yeah. You'll just live for yourself. Yeah. It'll just be all about you. And most Christians, I find, in this day and time, they can't control their mind. They can't control their attitude. They can't control their spirit. They can't control nothing when it comes to about their, you know, them. It's like a smoke screen. They're all putting on. They're acting. And they're, you know, showing out. And inside it's not real because you never got control of this, so it never gets down into here. You haven't got this. Now the Bible tells us that we're supposed to pull down strongholds. And let's go to Genesis. I've been thinking about this. I said, man, Lord, what's the problem with Christianity? What is going on with Christians? And why is it that they can never get over this hump? Why is it that they can never? I mean, Ryan, his wife got me some lollipops this morning. And I was kidding with Ryan and them. I said, hey, it's dum-dums. What are you trying to say? Dum-dum? And you know what? I know I'm a dum-dum. Really, I know I'm a dum-dum. But this dum-dum is trusting in the Lord. Amen. And this dum-dum wants to get his wisdom from God.
Yeah, amen.
And in the world, they look at us as being Christians and wanting to serve God. They look at you like you're a dum-dum. You don't know what you're talking about. But when it comes to inner peace, see, that's another thing. When you control this, it gets this and gives you inner peace. You know, in any kind of karate, any kind of meditation, they always say you got to control your mind. You got to control your spirit. You've got to get that in control. Am I right, Tony? You've got to get that thing under control. As a Christian, we're dealing in a spirit world, and you've got to get things under control in your life, in your mind. And what happens is people try to substitute peace by drugs, by drinking, by partying, about dancing out in the world, trying to substitute peace. And you can't, when you're a child of God, you can temporarily substitute something, but it's not going to last. It's not going to be there. Genesis starts out, and the devil always works on a weaker vessel. Man, that's why you need to be, you're the head of the home. And you say, well, I don't like that, but really you're head of home, you're 51% when it comes to the way God looks at it. But the Bible tells us, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Your husband, what, your partners, you're not enemies. You're supposed to be working together as one. So it says, but the woman is the weaker vessel. And the devil works on a wife. When you come home, a guy comes in the house, and he'll come home from work, and he'll say, I'm tired. I'm just going to sit in the room. I ain't going to do nothing. She's been in the house running around chasing these kids around and trying to clean up the house every time. I've had the kids at the house. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. Kids do not clean up. They make a mess, man. And then when you try to get them, you try to sing the happy song. Let's clean up, clean up. And they look at you like you're crazy. And guess who is the one cleaning up? It's you. And the man comes in the house. So I just want to sit down, take it easy. And she's like, she wants to go out. She wants to go somewhere and get rid of, you know, let the kids stay with the grandma or somebody for a night so we can go. And he's like, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? And she's been battling that thing. And she's had all kinds of thoughts. And look in Genesis chapter 3. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Subtle. Subtlety. The devil always comes at you real subtle. Remember that. He comes at you, young people, teenagers, he'll come at you real subtle. He'll throw some, he'll put a thought in your mind. He'll come whispering in your ear. He's just, if I could describe the devil, he's like Amnon had a friend, Jonadab. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab. He was always like, oh, I know how to handle that. And the devil knows how to handle something the wrong way. And he'll tell you how to handle something the wrong way. And mess your life up. And mess up your people around you. Now, the Bible says he was more subtle than any beast of the field. And it says, notice he was a beast. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the devil comes at you questioning God. Why? Why? God said this. God said that. Why? I mean, the Bible says the devil will come at you with a question mark. He always comes at you with a question mark. And the woman has said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of the gardens, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said that ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She misquotes scripture. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And God doeth know that the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, and knowing evil, good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and no tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and so on. The devil came at her with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When in Matthew chapter 4, the devil comes to Jesus Christ the same way. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Go to Matthew 4. We'll go back to Ephesians in a minute. Matthew 4, he comes at Jesus Christ the same way. And he gives him a question. Gives him a question. Yea, have God said? And we call that the Yea of God Said Society. And chapter 4, verse 4, and the Bible says this. And it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Pride of life. See, he comes at him. If you read the rest of the chapter, read the first part of the verses, he comes at him with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's the way the devil will come after you. He'll come after you with your eyes. Men fall in love with what they see. Women fall in love with what they hear. So a man will see something, he'll fall in love, you know, and it's more lust than it is love. But the devil will use your eyes. He'll use your lust of the eyes, lust, and pride of life. He'll use those things, lust of flesh. He'll use those things to come at you. And you've got to be wise. So what happens is, when it comes to your mind, if you allow the devil control your mind, every time you turn around, you can't help it. You'll be drawn into it every time. Now, we're going to look at some verses. Now, look back in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look at a bunch of stuff here. Ephesians chapter 6, look what the Bible says. The Bible warns you. Paul says, hey, man, I know all about this thing. I know all about this mind control. And the world always tries to use mind control. You know how you say, oh, that ain't so. You'd be watching a game, and you'll watch a game, and they'll show some girl, beautiful girl, pouring out, all my men drink this, and all my men smoke this, and all my men do this. And they use mind control to get you to go out and buy their product. That's the way they do it. I mean, the devil's slick, man. The devil likes to get, got men looking at YouTube and all the other women and all that stuff. And they start saying, my wife don't look like that. My Lord, I'd like to have somebody looking like that. Man, look at it. And the devil used that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The pride of life is, I deserve better. I should have it better. My life, man, look at my life. I should be better. She's holding me back. He's holding me back. They're holding me back. Yeah. The devil uses that. And he'll mess your life up, man. And you got to have control. And the Bible talks about a man having an unruly spirit. And that's mind and spirit, man. That thing, it can control you. It'll ruin you. You see young people today, man, I mean, they're glued. They walk around with this phone. And the thing, you said, but they said, I'm my own man. I'm on this. No, they're controlled. They're controlled. You walk around, people walk around, their minds under control. That's how it shows me. When the Antichrist shows up, it's going to be easy for him. Sure. It's going to be easy for him that the people receive a mark. Why? Man, I need to buy and sell. You know, they've been pushing that thing, cashless society. They've been pushing all that stuff. I mean, do it right on your phone. Do it right on the computer. Do everything. It's a mind control. It's getting you ready. And that's why most Christians, you'll find, I've started thinking about this, maybe 10% or less Christians witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. 10% or less pass out tracts. 10% or less read their Bible or read their Bible from cover to cover. I mean, man, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, I mean, most Christians that name the name of Christ are not walking with him. They're not walking. Why? Their mind's in other places. Their mind's being controlled. Their mind's on themselves. Their mind's on what they want and what we're going to get and how we're going to get it. And all those things are rather than leaving things into God's hands and saying, Lord, Brother Eddie started out Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. The world is trying to transform you or conform you. They want you to conform to their system. And God's trying to get you over here to control, be controlled and conform to his system. And as a child of God, that's what we're supposed to desire, is to be more like Christ, not more like the world. Or more like what the devil wants in our lives. And I found most Christians, now what they do, when they talk about certain, they say, I love the Lord, but man, I can't go that far. I can't let him run things. I can't let him have control. I mean, who has control then? Who has control of your life? He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. How to master your mind. The world's mastering it. The devil is a master at controlling your mind. I mean, the world tell you, you're depressed, or you need this, or you got to have this. And folks, I tell you what, I said weather should never affect our spiritual walk. It should never affect our attitude. It should never affect the way we live. The weather should never do that. But it does. When people, man, it was rainy, they're feeling, they say, oh, I don't feel like going to church today. You wake up, man, you hear the rain hitting the roof, oh, man, I don't feel like it. And your flesh says, stay in bed, come on. And for long, if a Christian will allow your mind to control you, you'll do exactly what your mind tells you to do. You know what I tell my mind? Shut up. I said, shut up. You ain't getting your way. No. And I say, Lord, you heard that. Don't let me have my way. Amen. Don't let me have my way. Because if I have my way, I'm going to ruin it. Right. So Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to tell you how to master your mind. How to get over it. How to get over yourself. Amen. I show you how to do it from the Word of God. Amen. Now, the Bible tells you a lot about your mind. I'm telling you. It tells you about your mind. The world knows about mind control. Over in South Korea, North Korea, you know what that dictator does? He controls the media. So it's a mind control. We got a battle going on between Fox News, CNN, all these other. They're saying, and President Trump got up and said fake news. Why? They're trying to control the minds and thinking of people. I mean, Fox News does the same, so does CNN. They all do the same thing, trying to control the thinking of the people. And God wants to control your thinking. If you look at things the way God looks at it, and you'll start seeing things the way he sees it, you'll have peace, you'll have joy in your life, you'll have comfort in your life, knowing that he's in control. Amen. Like you said, Jesus knew from the beginning to the end. Well, he knew what was going to happen. He knew what, when the devil offered him all the kingdoms of the world, the Lord knew what they were. He knew what they were. He knew what the kingdoms were. I know what's out in the world, man. I know what out there. The Bible tells us what's out in the world. And the Bible tells us how it's all going to end up. So, well, man, that's just a book man wrote. I had a guy tell me that the other day. I said, come on, man. You don't believe that. You believe that's it. I said, well, why do you hate that book so much? Right. Well, it controls your mind. I said, well, you're being controlled. You're being controlled by something. He said, why? Nobody controls me. What? I control myself. And I said, no, you don't. You're listening to something. And you follow whatever it tells you. That fellow came in here today. My heart breaks for people that have trouble with their mind. I went in the room after I told the guy I had to leave. I went in my room. I prayed. I said, God, have mercy on that boy. Man, his mind, you know what he's doing? He's messing with something. You know what happens to a Christian? They can get so far out. And your mind would be so messed up that you can never think pure thoughts. You can never think anything good when it comes to people. You can never think about how great it would be to see them in a certain place in their life. You don't think that way. It's not pure. The Bible says to the pure, all things are pure. You don't think that way. You get this mind control thing going on, and all you can see is negative. All you can see is wickedness and all that stuff. And this world is. But you're supposed to have an attitude about trying to see past that, what they could be for God. Yeah. What God could do in their lives if they just let them. And look at this. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. We've read this over and over and over and over. Look at it again, though. It says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Strong? Is he talking about physical? No, he's talking about spiritual. And spiritual in your mind. You think about the Apostle Paul. I mean, he wrote 13 books in the New Testament. He's the one that wrote, rejoice evermore. And again, I say rejoice. I mean, he wrote that rejoicing. Here's the guy, every time he went to town, he's getting stoned to death. Every time he went to town, people were cussing him out, beating him up, all kinds of stuff. I mean, because they didn't like the Word of God, but he had joy. He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord always. Praise the Lord always. I mean, Paul was praised. You know what? In Acts 16, Paul got stoned, and they drug him out of the city, and they threw him out and down a cliff, and he got up. They thought the disciples sitting there crying, thought he was dead. He gets up, and he walks back. He said, where was I? And he went right back into town. Went right back preaching. Man, what a thing. God, give me that, man. Give me that kind of spirit. That kind of control my mind. They say, it's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. Yeah, it is. Most of the things that happen in our lives, is you always think, I got cancer. Oh, man, I got cancer. The Bible talks about don't be afraid of sudden fear. Oh, man, this if I do that, oh, my God, we're going to do this. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. And, you know, David had that problem. David said, man, one day I'm going to die by the hand of Saul. Guess what happened? He never died by the hand of Saul. He lived and died and telling Solomon, his son, watch his son take over the kingdom. I mean, we always thinking always that something bad is going to happen in your life. Now, I always say expect the worst, but pray for the best. Expect the worst, pray for the best. But I tell you what, it's in the mind. Now, look at here. Look what the Bible says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. There's the key, the power of his might. It says, for put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, put on the whole armor of God. So God's giving you equipment to be able to control the mind and protect the body. He's giving you all the equipment. And you know what he gives you? He gives you a helmet of salvation. You know what that helmet does? It comes over your head. It's to protect your mind. He gives you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's to fight with, to keep the devil off of you. And you got at least your length of your arm and then that four-foot sword. And you got that, and you got a shield, a breastplate of righteousness. You got that over to protect your heart. Amen. You got to protect the heart. You got all this stuff. God's giving you all the equipment to protect yourself. And what Christians do, they go out, and they say, oh, I don't need that. And the devil sees them coming and says, there's the child of God right there. And he takes the fiery darts. Pew! He'll hit you right in the mind. He'll hit you right there where it hurts. And you start thinking, everybody's against me. Nobody likes me. I ain't got no friends. Nobody loves me. He starts hitting you, man. Before long, you'll believe it. Yep. It's in your mind.
Yep.
The devil goes after the mind. He gets the mind. What happens is, they always say, whatever goes in here will end up in here, in the heart. Whatever goes in here, that's why you got to be careful what you listen to, what you look at, where you go, who you hang around with. If you got somebody like Jonadab always telling you how to get away with wickedness, you need to get away from them. You know what? When I got saved, I started growing, I started learning, and I said, Lord, you know, my mind's so screwed up, I can't even think straight. I mean, I prayed that. I'd go to the altar all the time. God, my mind is, I can't even look at a woman without lust. I can't look. Why? Because when I was a kid, my brother fed me all this stuff, all the wicked pictures and stag films and all that stuff. I said, man, my mind is so stinking corrupt. God, clean my mind. Clean me, God. I want to have my mind straight. You know what the Lord did? Little by little. Little by little. The washing of the water by the word. The more the word of God started washing me, it started filtering things. It started cleaning things out. To the pure, all things are pure. I can look at things. I can look at people and be pure about my thoughts toward them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No, you don't think them bad things. You start praying, God help them. God bless them. So your mind, young people, young men have the hardest time because young men, they got hormones and girls got hormones and they're always thinking about that stuff, man. They're always thinking about, you know, the physical. If a young person can think about the spiritual, my Lord, you're walking on a different plane. If you're walking, I mean, you say, well, I've only had a wife, only had a woman, I'd be happy. No, what happens is a man get a wife, get a woman, and before long, he's if his heart is not right, his mind's not right, he'll be looking at another woman, and another woman, and another woman. You're into something, how you hear about all these guys, they're being charged with groping women and all that. It's not just one. It's more than one. Why? Their mind's not right. You young people, you were looking at that bad stuff, man. You said, God, cleanse me. I mean, I had that stuff in my mind it was just in there because all that stuff I looked at, I grew up with. Now, you young people that are saved, you ain't got to grow up with that stuff. You choose to put it in there. And you choose to have it, and before long, all you can think is impure thoughts. And it messes up your head, messes up your mind. You can't get nothing from God. You come to church, you can't sing praises to him. You can't do nothing for God. Why? It's all your fault. It ain't his. The devil made me do it. Flip Wilson, how many of y'all remember Flip Wilson? Flip Wilson used to be a comedy show. He used to say, the devil made me do it. And everybody laughed. The devil ain't making you do it. He'll put the thoughts there. He'll throw it at you. But then he backs away to see what you're going to do. He sees which direction you're going to walk in. See, the devil will throw thoughts at you and see which way you're going to walk. And he'll watch you. He'll watch you. You know why? How I know he'll watch young people that are saved? He knows who's got the blood applied on them. When Moses was told to put the blood on the doorpost, when the death angel came by, he said, wherever the blood is, you pass by. But the devil, when he walks by you, he sees that you're saved, and he knows you're out where you shouldn't be and doing things that you shouldn't do and looking at things you shouldn't look at. He goes, oh, I've got a sheep that's gone astray. I've got something. He said, Lord, wait a minute now. Fair game. Fair game. He's fair game. He's out there where he shouldn't be. And the Lord says, I'm a good shepherd. I love my sheep. I'm coming after my sheep. And the Bible tells us the Holy Ghost is making intercession for you. And the Lord will keep him back, keep him back, and keep him back. But before long, you'd be rebellious. Finally, the Lord says, okay. I don't know how many times. I remember this in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, the Lord says, I've chastened them, I've warned them 10 times. See, God gives warning so many times, and then that's it. He says, I warned Israel 10 times and they wouldn't listen. Then all of a sudden, I don't know how many times it is. I read that. I went, God, please. If I'm on my ninth, please, God, help me do right. I don't want you to judge me for that. God, help me. Keep my mind. Now, the Bible says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. It says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. The evil day is when you're being tempted, when the temptation comes upon you. See, you don't have to fall. You don't have to fall. If you're strong, the Lord says, finally, my brethren, be strong. See, what God wants you to do is wear the equipment. He wants you, he said, I provided you equipment. I want you to wear it. You don't go into battle as a soldier. And you say I'm in the military, and we go over to Afghanistan, and I'm in the military, the army. I said, and we get out there, he says, all right, we're going to go into battle. And I walk up, and I got my jeans on, my T-shirt. I say, hey, Sarge, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to battle. Where's your equipment? Where's your helmet? Where's your bulletproof shield? I mean, where's all that stuff? Oh, I don't think I need it. I think I can just handle it myself. Yeah. I can just go up there and take it on. They'll blow your stinking head off, you idiot. Yeah. And what most Christians do? They don't put no equipment on. They don't wear nothing. They don't protect their mind. They don't put the shield or their breastplate of righteousness. They don't put no shield up. And they'll read stuff that will mess up their head. I mean, man, I've been in places where old songs would be playing, and that thing will ring and ring and ring through my head. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? That thing will ring, and sometimes I'll go, God, get that thing out of my head. And I'll start singing a gospel song. That gets it out. Being able to control your mind. You got to learn how to do it. You got to learn how to master it. They say it's all in your mind. Yeah, it is. If you don't learn how to do it, you'll be another statistic. Look what else it says. We ain't going to have time to even scratch this. The Bible says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil time, in the evil day, having done all the stand to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your gospel of peace? It says, your feet shod. That's is covered. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye be able to quench all the fiery darts of the what? I've had men, I've been on the job site. I've had men say, hey, preacher, I got a joke for you. And I say, is it clean? They're, oh, yeah. They'll start out and they'll start telling me something. I'll say, no, it ain't clean. I'll walk away. Say, what? That's rude. No, I ain't going to listen to that filth, man. I ain't going to listen about some guy messing with some woman. I ain't going to listen to all that stuff. So if you're listening to that stuff, if you listen to Howard Stern, and you listen on, I had to ride with a guy, and I rode to work every morning, Wilson. He had Howard Stern on. And I said, Wilson, I said, brother, I know it's your truck, but I'm not going to ride with you. I don't want to listen to this guy. He's filthy, dirty, rotten. So as soon as I got in the truck every day, Wilson, he respected me. And he was respecting me enough because he knew I was real. And if somebody knows you're real, they'll respect you. And he would turn that thing off. So I didn't have to listen to that stuff. So, folks, the battle, you say, is all in your mind. It's all in your mind. Yes, it is. It's in your mind. And the devil's going to play with your mind. And if you don't have something to protect you from it, and you don't get in the Word of God, and you don't spend time with the Lord praying, and the Bible tells you those things that you need to do to be able to filter out, to be able to protect yourself and protect your family. Look here. Look what it says. It says, above all, take the shield of faith where you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked and the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, take your Bible, look over with me to look over to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter real quick. And what you say, what are you teaching all that? I'm concerned, man. I want to see people get victory, man. I'm tired. You get tired of seeing people fall by the wayside and fall out because they don't know how to master their mind. They don't know how to let God have control of their mind. It says, look at this. For as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the what? Arm yourself with what? If you're there, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go again. For as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself. You know what that is? It's like going over to your table and you say, man, I'm going in as a cop. I've got to go out today. I got to put on my armor. I got to get my shield on. I've got to have my gun. I've got to have my handcuffs. I got to have all this stuff. It says, arm yourself. Arm yourself. He says, look at this. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same what? Jesus Christ came to suffer. He came to die. He came to be a sacrifice. That's why Romans 12 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He says, arm yourself with the same mind. So, Lord, I'm yours, and whatever you choose, I trust you. Have your own way, God. We sing that song as the invitation song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Do we mean it? See, you might not have to. You think, all you think is the worst in your mind. Well, if I do that, then he's going to make me die on a cross? No. He says, take up your cross and follow me. The cross is whatever you got to bear in your life. Trust in him. Whatever you're going through. Brother Bob and Miss Terry, they've got a cross they're carrying. It could be health. Could be your health. That's a cross. Mind yourself the same. Okay, God, I trust you. I know I got a brand new body. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to see you. I'm arming myself. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to get bitter at you. I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you glory. Anyway, the world looks at that. Why ain't you mad? I mean, why ain't you mad at God? When my brother got killed, I went outside. Y'all heard my story. I said, you blankety blank. If you're up there, I want to know. And God had mercy on me. Now look at this. Look at the rest of the verse. He says, for as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. that he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from what? See, when you get your mind where you want to serve God and you're trying to do what's right, that's not saying you're sinless. It's just that you sin less. You're not sinless, but you sin less in your mind. Your mind is your battlefield. We got to stop right there. We'll get into this next week. Father, my Father, I pray, God, help us, Lord God.